reporting on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. A major event happened yesterday that's going to affect Wisconsin elections. You remember that Voss was going to appoint a new member of the Wisconsin Election Commission because Dean Knudsen stepped down, resigned. He'd had enough of the attacks from the Republican Party. Wisconsin Election Commission, I'll tell you, back a long time ago, there was an independent commission. I served on it back in the late 70s, early 80s. And there were other iterations of it. At one point, they had a panel of retired judges who were excellent. They were all nonpartisan. Some were Democrats or Republicans in their private life, but they were very honest. The Republicans chipped away. And then they said, let's have a Wisconsin Election Commission. Three Republicans, three Democrats, and the chairmanship rotates. Well, they issued some 6-0 opinions during the pandemic, including mailing ballots to old age homes because with COVID, they wouldn't let them in to hand them to them personally. And suddenly, when Trump loses there, he goes, oh, that's terrible, even though the three Republicans voted for it. One of the Republicans, Bob Spindell, jumped ship and became a fraudulent elector. He was one of the 10 fake crooked electors that met and said that they were the electors. Remember? That was wrong. That was a betrayal of our law. In any event, the sheriff of Racine said the other five should be criminally prosecuted. He should keep his mouth shut. We don't want law enforcement attacking civilian leadership. This is America. This is not Asia. It's not South America. It's not Africa. That's up to the civilian authorities. Now, the present chairman is Ann Jacobs, a Democrat, a very good member of the commission. Dean Knudsen stepped down. Bob Spindell, the bad guy who was a fake elector, said he wants to be the chairman. But it takes a Democratic vote to be the chairman, a majority, because it's 3-3. Well, Voss appointed yesterday a guy named Don Millis. He's a lawyer. He's a Republican lawyer. He served on the Wisconsin Election Commission in the past. He's a partner, a tax partner in a Milwaukee law firm. I don't know him personally, but I'm familiar with his firm. There's some good people in his firm. But the thing that was most persuasive to me is Ann Jacobs, the Democrat, the present chairman, said she had served with him before on the Wisconsin Election Commission as a high opinion of him. She said, the Democratic chairman said, quote, Don Millis was an excellent election commissioner when he originally served on the commission. We'll not always agree, but I believe his work will be as professional and thoughtful as it has always been. And Tommy Thompson, who is not a Trump Republican. Former Governor Tommy Thompson was also the head of the UW system at one time on an interim basis. He said, quote, he praised Don Millis, and he said, quote, I can't think of anyone better, end quote. This is Tommy Thompson. And then it turns out that in 2016, Millis had given advice to clerks that they could fill in missing information on absentee ballots if they knew it was true. In other words, husband and wife each vote. The husband signs as the witness to the wife's ballot. She figures, well, I'm the witness to his ballot. I just don't have to put a signature down because he did. You can fill in the wife's name. And that has been attacked by Trump. So I am guardedly optimistic. Obviously, a Republican is going to be nominated. Don Millis has been nominated. I shouldn't say nominated. He's been appointed by Robin Voss. Now they have to elect a chair. It's got to be a Republican because the Dems had the chair for the last 2 years, the Republicans the next 2 years. And that chair has got to be Don Millis because it can't be Bob Spindell. You can't make as a chairman a guy who is a fake elector who met in secret at the Capitol and told this and was part of a deal where they tell the Senate that he was the real elector. You can't have that. So keep your fingers crossed. I don't know Don Millis, but I respect Tommy Thompson and Ann Jacobs. And if they think he's good, I am relieved. We're going to the lines. Several people, don't hang up. I'll take you in order. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Dick of Madison?
Well, to the gun legislation that was passed last night by the House, yeah, that's good. But from my mind, it's just going to move to the Senate where nothing will come out of it. And in the Senate Republicans will, they're already in the middle of making up their next excuse. What was the first one? Oh, it's video games causes it. Then it's mental health. But I heard the best of the best the last couple of days from Scalise, a man who was shot himself. You know, we didn't ban airplanes after 9/11. Well, no, we didn't, Congressman, but we did do a lot of things to make it safer to travel on airplanes, like make the cabin area more, you know, a little harder to get into. We did a lot of things. But that one was the best of all time. And in my mind, they better come up with a little better excuse than that one. I'm sure they're thinking of some pithy little thing right now as we speak. But I see it going nowhere in the Senate.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And I want to say something else. I mean, everybody, there's almost like a defeatist attitude on the Democratic side. Like Tammy Baldwin put a statement out yesterday saying, well, there's going to perhaps be some, but it's not going to be wide ranging or, you know, it's not going to be. And it's just a matter of fact statement. Where's the passion? Where's the leadership on the Democratic side, quite frankly? Where's somebody doing something? You know, yeah, you had Chris Murphy giving this big speech and all that kind of thing. But where is somebody saying, let's just classify it as a military weapon? Civilians shouldn't have military weapons, just like they shouldn't have machine guns, javelins, bazookas, stingers, chemical, biological, nuclear weapons. This is a military weapon. In the old days, if you wanted to get off by shooting one of these things, you joined the military. Nowadays, they don't join the military, but they figure they can get the same thrill. Well, no, an 18-year-old has absolutely no discretion, absolutely no maturity. He shouldn't be able to buy it. And frankly, nobody should be able to buy one of these things with a 30 high capacity, 30 round ammo. We don't want it. It is military. Somebody's got to get up and put a little more passion in this. I don't see any passion whatsoever. We're going back to the lines. Billy of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today. Billy of Milwaukee.
I'm happy to be here, Matt, about what's been going on, especially with the House passing the Protecting Our Kids Act very narrowly, 223 to 204. It seems like to me that a lot of the Republican Party now is basically just, they're talking about, oh, well, what's been going on about all of the legislation to protect, like they're just trying to talk about protecting the Supreme Court justices, and they're important, but they're not trying to talk about mental health funding, and they keep talking about these thoughts and prayers. Like, how much more are we going to do until we have to actually go through a sense of tyranny? And I hate using that word, but it's like, it's either you're with one or you're with the other. And it's like, there's no sense of consensus building. There's, like you were talking about earlier with Tommy Thompson. Yes, he was a Republican, but he was a Republican that I respected heavily, especially in the state of Wisconsin during his four terms. So it's just a lot that, like, you know, seeing the progression of where we were at in the 90s and where we're at today in 2022, it seems like to me that either one or you're in the other. I just don't know what to say about anymore.
Yeah, those are some very good comments, Bill. Let me build on those. First of all, this is a good insight. Some of these guys go, oh, we got to have more attention to mental health. Well, yes. Okay, here's a bill to fund it. And they vote against it. They say we need more mental health. Okay. The second thing is, proportion to our population, we have the same mental health policy, no more nor less than everybody else in the world. Every other country has mentally ill people, but they don't go around shooting up schools because they can't get hold of semi-automatic weapons that are high capacity and given to an emotionally disturbed or mentally ill 18-year-old. And when someone's 18, they have no judgment whatsoever. They're full of hormones. Maybe they got jilted by a girl at the prom. Maybe they lost their job. You know, maybe they don't have any prospects. They're not going to school. And they get despondent and they figure they'll shoot up a school. The Republicans won't do anything about this, Billy. And I think that the only thing that's going to make a difference, quite frankly, is at the polls. And at some point, and a case in point is Wisconsin. You know, we're a purple state. Ron Johnson won't do anything. He will filibuster anything. Anything. He will not have anything to do with anything. With anything like making this a military weapon, or even raising the age to 21, or even having background checks, or voting for mental health. Anything. He won't do anything. Well, at some point, voters have to say, look in the mirror and say, okay, am I a free man or woman, or am I simply just a cog, and this guy is going to keep doing this? This gets me very angry. We're going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before we go to the lines, do not hang up. We've got to give you at least one humorous, well, there's a humorous, but I mean, we need a little levity. How about Lauren Boebert in Colorado for levity? Turns out the Attorney General of Colorado is investigating her for fraud in the 2020 election. She put in for inflated mileage $22,259. But here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. In a 7-month period from April 1 to November 1, think about the geography of this, 7 months, she claimed mileage of 38,712 miles. The circumference of the Earth around the equator is 25,000 miles. She claimed in a one congressional district in Colorado, she put in 1.5 times the circumference of the Earth in 7 months. Now, I'm familiar with her congressional district. It involves Rifle, Colorado, but also Aspen, if you're a skeet out there, Snowmass, Basalt. If she drove her car continuously 24 hours a day around that small area, she would not have exceeded the circumference of the Earth, to say nothing about the circumference times 1.5, 38,000 miles. She also took $20,000 of donor money to pay off tax liens on her restaurant in Rifle. She has a restaurant in Rifle where the waitresses are all required to wear pistols. I'm not kidding. Open carry. I mean, if you're ever out in that area, go in there for a hamburger. And everybody's walking around with a gun. $20,000, donor money, pay off tax liens on her restaurant. You know, enough's enough with this one. And I'll tell you another one where enough's enough. Bill Gates and Marjorie Taylor Greene do a podcast together. And the other day, one of them said, and it was Gates said, quote, I'm not making this up, quote, I would rather give Nancy Pelosi a sponge bath than have dinner with Adam Schiff, end quote. Now, that's just a weird thing to say. I mean, what's with the sponge baths, okay? Then here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene said to him. Matt, would you trim her toenails? And he says, quote, I would trim her toenails with my teeth before I would have dinner with Adam Schiff. Now, look, I've known a lot of congressmen, you know, and senators. I've known, you know, Bill Proxmire, Gaylord Nelson. I've known Les Aspin. I've known Bob Kastenmeyer, you know, Clem Zablocki, Jerry Kletchka. In a million years, none of these people would it have occurred to them to say something like that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has a diaper thing. She chased AOC down the hall. AOC went in her office and locked the door, and Marjorie Taylor Greene's beating on the door shouting, put away the diapers. Are you putting on your diaper? These are two seriously disturbed individuals, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And another one is Lauren Boebert saying that she put on 1.5 times the circumference of the earth in her Colorado congressional district in 7 months. Okay, we're going to the lines. We'll do it in order. First of all, CJ of Stoughton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, CJ of Stoughton?
Morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, more than money is going to come to what a previous caller said. My candidates' votes are going to come because what's the price of gas today? Another new record. You spoke earlier about, and I do appreciate you speaking up against violence against judges, but you left out one fact. You blame Trump, of course. But who said this, Matt? Let me tell you, Justice Gorsuch. Let me tell you, Justice Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you'll pay the price. Who said that, Matt?
Well, it wasn't anybody that was threatening violence against them.
Oh, that was
nobody
that
was threatening
Senator
violence
Chuck
against
Schumer.
Them.
Chuck Schumer. And they're lifetime appointments on the Supreme Court. So how are they going to pay? And Matt Garland let it go on for a month. Is it not against the Penal Code, Title 18, U.S. Code, Chapter 73, Section 1507, to protest or try to threaten or intimidate a justice? So Merrick Garland, is he, and Ron Johnson's going to be reelected, Matt, because he did offer a bill the day after the shooting, and Chuck Schumer blocked it. It was called the Luke and Alex School Safety Act. So your claims of Johnson doing nothing is simply false. Chuck Schumer blocked the bill to do something. So this is all about cover-up and blind. This theater that's going on tonight isn't going to show anything, but votes are coming in November, so you better hurry up because there's going to be actual investigations.
Well, CJ, I want to, before we run to the end of this segment, I want to respond to what you're saying here. First of all, Ron Johnson, let's put aside for the fact that he said he does not trust our CIA and FBI, but he trusts Russia. Put that aside for a second. The second thing is, put aside for a second that he will not vote for anything to rein in AR-15s out of the hands of 18-year-olds who walk in the day after their birthday and buy it and then shoot up a school. He will not support background checks. He will not support anything, nothing. And third, this is a guy, quite frankly, who is not sticking up for the United States, not sticking up for Wisconsin. How can you possibly support Putin? How can you possibly oppose any, and I mean A-N-Y, any law that would help to stop school shootings? The fact is that Ron Johnson has been in two terms. He claimed he'd only serve one, now he wants three. He's got to get out of there. Wisco Paul, we have a little time before the break. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Boy, I don't know. It's like listening to right-wing talk radio. By the way, the GOP owns talk radio as long as it's Democrats dropped the ball. A little thing on gun control. When I was a young man, one of the big things to do was hunt white-tailed deer, and the other one was I had a good friend. We hunted waterfowl and pheasants. But as far as gun control, when I was young, you couldn't carry a loaded gun around in the car unless it was cased and unloaded, or you're going to get fined. So I don't know what year that law changed, but that's the law that should have stayed on the books. No reason for people to carry long guns around in a car. Now we've moved up, and it's assault weapons. And they should show the pictures of what these assault weapons did to these young, poor little young people in the classroom. Assault weapons, I used them. They're meant to kill people, Matt. They're not. They really don't even. They just tear you to pieces in the inside. So Johnson is still for assault weapons, and I don't know what CG's talking about. But I hate to even waste my breath on that guy. He listens to talk radio. I'm starting to think he spends more time listening to you. But anyway, maybe Bill could back me up. But I don't know what year that changed. But at any rate, I see these pictures where people show guns in the back of a pickup hanging there in the state of Wisconsin. Never happened. At least it never happened that I was aware of. And now you can carry assault weapons around. It's ridiculous.
Well, thanks for calling. We've got to go to a break. You said a mouthful. I'm going to respond to you after the break. And I'm also going to get to the next caller in line. Do not hang up. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to introduce a subject, then go back to the lines. The lines are live. I'll get to you in order. Do not hang up. We talk a lot about the Senate race, about the governor race, about a lot of races. Let me tell you, one of the most important races that's going to determine the direction of this state for 10 years will be the Supreme Court race. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Pat Rogensack is up for election next year. She's announced she's not running for re-election. There'll be a primary in February to narrow it down to two candidates. And then in April, there'll be an election, and that person will serve for 10 years. They'll serve till 2033. So be very aware of what's going on. There's two things I want to talk about. The race itself, we have an outstanding candidate who has declared, Judge Janet. Judge Janet Protasiewicz of Milwaukee. She was an assistant DA in Milwaukee for 24 years. Prosecute every kind of crime, very firm, tough prosecutor, very fair, has great demeanor as a prosecutor and as a judge. Then she became a judge. She's one of the top judges in the state. There's a Trump supporter going to announce against her, one of these guys who would have not certified the election for Biden, even though he won it. He can't have that, not in the Supreme Court. We already have three justices who said they would not certify the election. We're lucky that Brian Hagedorn stood tall and he certified the election. And there's a Dane County judge, a perfectly fine person. I don't know him at all. But Judge Janet, keep that in mind. She's a hard worker. She really knows the law. Very, very tough prosecutor. And she has said in her opening remarks, we are not going to have anybody tamper with our democracy. We absolutely have to have her as a watchdog on the court, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Now, I mentioned Brian Hagedorn, and I want to give you some fascinating statistics before we go to the lines. There's seven justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and a number of their rulings are 4-3. There are three Democrats and three hardcore Republicans who vote in a block. The Republicans usually to upend our democracy, the Democrats to uphold it. And Judge Hagedorn, Brian Hagedorn, who's a Republican, but a very thoughtful guy, knows the Constitution, will occasionally vote with one block and the other. And here are the statistics. In the 4-3 rulings, Hagedorn is in the majority 85% of the time. Among the Democrats, Jill Karofsky, 62%, Ann Walsh Bradley, 54%, Rebecca Dowell at 54%. On the Republican side, Rebecca Bradley, 54%, Rogensack, 46%, Ziegler, 46%. But Hagedorn, 85%. What does that mean? you're yawning, you figure, oh, a bunch of numbers. That means that Hagedorn is the deciding vote of some of the most important cases that have come before the court. Because when he votes with one or the other of those groups, that is the majority, that's the majority that wins. 85% of the time it has Hagedorn on it. Kind of like John Roberts of the U.S. Supreme Court, there are nine justices there, and before Amy Coney Barrett was appointed, that was a 5-4 court too. Now it's a 6-3 court. And Roberts would occasionally vote with the four Democrats, occasionally with the four Republicans, and his vote was it. Well, Hagedorn is the guy. In a tough case, it depends what Hagedorn thinks. And frankly, with Pat Rogensack retiring, it's essential, in my view, that we elect Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Because Judge Janet Protasiewicz has more prosecuting experience than anybody who's on the Supreme Court right now, much less anybody who runs against her, which isn't even going to be close. And when she is on the Supreme Court, then when Brian Hagedorn rules as he does, it'll be 5-2, or it'll be 4-3 in the other instances. So this is a shout out to two people, primarily Justice Janet, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, but she's known as Judge Janet. Very, very good judge, very good prosecutor, very good fighter for our democracy. And Brian Hagedorn, who I believe has cast deciding votes to uphold our democracy, he's not up for re-election for 7 more years. I think it's 2029, right around there. But when he runs for re-election, I'll tell you what, that is somebody who deserves support. Okay, we go to the lines in order. We'll start with Mark of the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, first off, you know, kudos to the caller that was talking about loaded weapons in the vehicles, because I started deer hunting back in the day when your weapon had to be fully encased and unloaded when you're transporting your weapons around, especially for hunting. I mean, you can't shoot, you know, closer than 20 yards with, you know, from the center line of the road. If memory serves, perhaps, you know, Walker changed that, because that came under Walker, that we could drive around, you know, because deer hunting from the road is illegal anyway. Unsportsmanlike in the second place. It's just disturbing that, you know, Republicans seem to forget all the rules of good sportsmanship, in addition to the rules of actual firearm safety, that it is just deeply disturbing. As far as threats, you know, if CJ considered what was said about the whirlwind was a threat, it was not a threat, a physical threat. It was saying that this is the political thing that's going to happen. It's going to unleash a firestorm politically, as far as the Roe versus Wade decision is what it was referring to. Because, you know, that, and perhaps, you know, I fall under the same thing sometimes, but sometimes it's better to keep your mouth closed rather than open your mouth and say something and remove all doubt that what a fool that you are, that to paraphrase Twain. And he may have been paraphrasing somebody else, but I mean that's a, you know, relatively famous saying that he said, that sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut. And I don't know how when CJ finds time to listen to conservative radio, because he seems like he's calling in all the programs that I listen to from, yeah, throughout the day. You know, that the Devil's programming and the Tom Hartman, and I've heard him on. Try to call into Stephanie Miller too, I think, on occasion. That, but I mean, it is. That's it.
Yeah, Mark, I want to respond to, you're making some very good points, and let me respond to a couple of things. The Republicans do have people who are essentially tasked, and their employees in many cases, with just calling in to liberal or Democratic stations and trying to get their point of view on. Because if a liberal or a Democrat calls into a Republican station, a right-wing radio, talk radio, they're not getting on. They screen them. They'll say, what do you want to talk about? And if they let them on by accident, they yell at them and cut them off. I do not do that. And I think Misko Paul made the point, and you and others have made the point, that CJ spends his day calling in all of this. I have no idea if this is part of a Republican thing. But I'm of the view, I want people on this program to hear both sides. If you have, if you're a conservative, you can feel free to call in. Obviously, I'm not going to let you talk all day. I don't let anybody talk all day. But I think it's naive to say that these kinds of things are not being said. And if you don't hear them, you can't react to them and you can't think about them. I think that that dialogue is good. And so within reason, I mean, we don't put up with trolls, people who use obscenities, people who say things that are right out of One America Now. But if somebody is thoughtful, even if it's part of the Republican playbook to call in, our people should, Bill of Economowoc calls into their stations all the time and usually doesn't get through and they give him short shift. I get it. But just remember, Democratic stations really believe in free speech and we're not afraid of any ideas. There's nobody that can call this show and somehow say something historical that's not true and it's going to get by me. This is not going to happen. So that's the situation there. Pizza Box Mike, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Pizza Box Mike?
Yeah, I have a different opinion when it comes to the whirlwind of ignorance and right-wing propaganda. I don't tolerate it. But, you know, a reminder, CJ, who's calling people to violence? Isn't it white, the Proud Boys and AON or OAN and all these clowns? And what other president had rallies where he told people to beat somebody up and he'd take care of it, you know, afterwards? I mean, just nonsense. See, I'm not going to let that alternative reality show up on my speech. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, you just raised a very good point, Pizza Box, and that is this. Until I'm blue in the face when CJ or others call, I will point out these facts. I will point out the fact. I mean, Ron Johnson is the guy that said he felt that the January 6th insurrection is just a bunch of fellas letting off steam. And he, quote, would have been concerned if it was Black Lives Matter. He just slipped the racial thing, and that's all. Point is, Black Lives Matter, the vast majority, and certainly ones in Wisconsin, were peaceful right after George Floyd. And the insurrection, five people got killed. Woman got trampled to death. A cop was almost kicked to death. Woman got shot. Cop had his eye gouged out. Cop had his finger ripped off. And Ron Johnson goes, bunch of guys letting off steam? No, that's not true. And the fact is that the Republicans, Trump incited the insurrection. Rudy Giuliani incited it. Mo Brooks, Don Trump Jr., Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. Now Kevin McCarthy has come around. Watch the hearings today, guys. Everybody out there, watch the hearings. And you'll see it live and in Technicolor. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. It's creeping into the Republican Party. The Republican Party has been a party of violence that advocates violence. And then when you get this nut that goes after Justice Kavanaugh, that should be punished and prosecuted, and that is intolerable. But they can't be permitted to hide behind that and say, therefore, everything we did on January 6th was okay. No. January 6th was intended to overthrow the government of the United States. January 6th was intended to stop the peaceful transition of power, to upend our democracy. And there will continue to be January 6th after every presidential election. It'll happen in 2024. It'll happen in 2028 unless we put a stop to it right now. That's why this commission is so important. It's important to get it to Merrick Garland with a prosecution recommendation. So my show is open to different points of view, but they are not going to misstate and reinvent history. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before I get to the next topic, a number of you have been kind enough to either call or write to me saying that you enjoyed the historical references on this show and the historical nature of the context in a lot of what we're talking about. If you want to learn some more about that, I just published a novel called Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, Milwaukee Jihad. It's available for purchase anywhere, but the easiest is go on Amazon and buy Milwaukee Jihad. And you'll see a number of the things that we've talked about on this show, but more importantly, a number of historical contexts that may be something you're not aware of. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, and some of you are from your letters and calls, appreciate it very much. Go on Amazon and order Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, by Matthew Flynn. Well, we're going to go to Florida to one of my least favorite Republicans, Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is sniffing around to run for president. And, you know, he's sort of a dour individual, but he's not Trump. On the other hand, he is very pugnacious and contentious. I don't think he's going to make it. But that's not why I'm raising him now. He has a press secretary named Christina Pushaw, P-U-S-H-A-W. Christina Pushaw, his press secretary, which means if he ever became president, she would be DeSantis' Jen Psaki. You know, in other words, the press secretary you'd see every day giving press conferences. She was contacted by the Department of Justice for being an unregistered agent for the country of Georgia. Not the state of Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia, but I'm talking about Tbilisi, Georgia, next to Russia. And she's apparently represented Mikhail Saakashvili, M-I-K-H-E-K, Saakashvili, S-A-A-K-A-S-H-V-I-L-I, the president of Georgia from 2004 to 2013. She got substantial cash plus a rent-free apartment in Tbilisi, which is the capital, T-B-I-L-I-S-I. Now, look, I like traveling. I like going to different places. But I don't need an apartment in Tbilisi, believe me. I don't need an apartment. You go to Ireland, France, the UK, London. You go to Rome, Barcelona, Vienna, Munich, Berlin, Brussels, all of that. I don't need an apartment in any of those places. I like to visit them. Why did she have a rent-free apartment in Tbilisi? Why did she get plenty of cash for Mikhail Saakashvili? This reminds me of Mike Flynn, no relation to me, the general, who was Trump's national security advisor for a while until they found out not only what he was doing with Russia, but also that he was representing the country of Turkey, trying to get the U.S. to extradite a guy in Pennsylvania so that he could be arrested and tortured by Erdogan, the president of Turkey. That is a criminal offense to represent a foreign country without registering as a foreign agent. You can do it if you register as a foreign agent, so everybody knows it. Well, Christina Pushaw did not register to be an agent for the country of Georgia, right next to Russia, and an agent for Mikhail Saakashvili, the former president, getting plenty of cash in a rent-free apartment in Tbilisi. You know what she did? She immediately went in and had her lawyers file it. They said retroactively. Well, you know something? Mike Flynn, I think, tried that. You shouldn't be able to do that. Are they going to go after her? I don't know. I mean, they have bigger fish to fry right now. But if this is Ron DeSantis' idea of a press secretary, if this is his idea of who's going to speak for him, that she concealed her work for a foreign country. When this happened, Paul Manafort, you may recall, was appointed chairman of Trump's campaign, and immediately they amended the Republican platform that summer to make it pro-Russian instead of standing up for Ukraine. And they secretly contacted the Ruskies, including Don Trump Jr., saying, don't worry about Obama. When he's out, Trump's in. We're going to lift all the sanctions against Russia. And nobody at the time knew that they were doing this. They didn't know Mike Flynn was doing it, that he represented Turkey. Now we have this clown, Christina Puschau, representing Georgia. Rent-free apartment in Tbilisi and plenty of cash. So what did DeSantis do about this? Now, what he should have said to her privately is, you know, it's nice knowing you, but, you know, we can't have a, you know, my equivalent of Jen Psaki up there. No one knows who she's representing. And he could do it gracefully, or he could be pugnacious and say, well, she's learned her lesson. No, here's what this guy does. He attacks the Washington Post. He said, it's shameful that they disclosed this story. It's a non-story. Oh, really? A non-story? Ask Mike Flynn if it's a non-story. Shameful, he said. Politicizing what? The violation of federal law? Well, yeah. If federal law says that it is a felony not to register as the agent of a foreign country, you don't know what's up from down. You don't know when you hear from a congressman or their staff whose skin in the game they got. They're supposed to represent the United States. And if they are going to represent a foreign country for money, is it an ally of the United States? There are people, for instance, who represent China. They represent Russia. They represent North Korea simply because they get paid for it and they register. And you can say, I don't agree with it. Fine. But, you know, as long as they register and they don't do anything illegal, they registered. But when you start hiding the fact that you register, that you represent Turkey or Georgia, that's a different story. And I would only raise this. I wouldn't raise it if DeSantis weren't, in fact, leading Trump in some of the straw polls around the country right now. One other thing, this is a rumor, but I think it has some legs. After the elections in November, whatever happens, but especially if the Dems don't do well, it's very common for an incumbent president to fire a cabinet officer or two and replace them to give the appearance and the reality of change. This happens with every president. It happened with Reagan. It happened with George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. It happened with Clinton. It'll happen inevitably now. The word is that Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, and I think a darn good one, will be replaced. She will just say, thank you, I've served, I'm leaving. And she may be replaced by Gina Raimondo, who's now the Commerce Secretary. And I want to tell you, I think that is good news. I like Janet Yellen. Gina Raimondo is very good. She's a Rhodes Scholar, grew up in Rhode Island, went to LaSalle High School, went to Harvard on a scholarship, became a Rhodes Scholar, very smart, also knows financial matters. And Janet Yellen, in terms of how the response to inflation, the truth is that inflation is not the fault of any president. Inflation is like a fever in a body. It's worldwide. It's caused in part by the supply chain, part by the war in Ukraine. I remember when Les Aspin was replaced as Secretary of Defense by Bill Clinton, after the Mogadishu incident, read Black Hawk Down, and he had to fire somebody, he fired Les. It wasn't Les's fault. He was a friend of mine. Thought that was terrible, but it happened. So stand by. I may be wrong, but that is the rumor. Janet Yellen will be replaced by Gina Raimondo after November. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins, and always, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. It's his house, just ain't no home.